Lucas Coonan, very strong performance all weekend. What were your thoughts on a podium at Lommel, one of the toughest tracks, maybe the toughest track in the world?
Today or yesterday was tough. They didn't rebuild it, so yeah, it was good. Not the best weekend like I wanted, but yeah, we were second, it's not so bad. And then, yeah, I got the first motor, good start, and Iago went just a little bit more inside, so he passed me. And yeah, that's, I was a bit tried to follow the lines, and with the bad marker, I lost a lot of time, so then I saw the gap was opening, so I was like, save a little bit of energy for the second motor, and then I missed my start completely, so I needed to push from the back to come back to the front, but yeah, second, I couldn't do something with Iago because he was already gone, so yeah.
The last three seasons, once you've learned how to win halfway through the season, you've been able to win from then on. I didn't expect you to win as early this year because it was MX2, but did you expect to be that quick at the start of the year and be able to win races so early?
Yeah, for sure. I was expected already.
Very good. And how did it feel to finally get that first win? Because you obviously had a lot of bad luck leading up to that, and then you were dominant really to get the win. It must have been a dream come true, really.
Yeah, it was good, but then I got sick all the weekend, so it wasn't good. Yeah. I would have liked to be better, but yeah, I got already one win and now second, so two podiums. It's good.
You're just 16 years old. Do you understand how rare it is to be that good at your age, or does this feel normal to you?
It's normal because there are already other guys that did it also in 16, like Jeffrey and other guys. So yeah.
And next year, are you looking for a world title then, is that?
For sure.
And America, is that still
the
main goal?
Yeah, that's for sure a goal, but we need to see when we...
Okay. Hayden Deegan just rode really impressively last night. He's 17, you're 16, Jet's 19. Are you the new main guys in the sport coming through, the next generation, do you feel?
Yeah, maybe, yes, but we need to see how it's going to be, so yeah.
And just a question on Sasha. You've grown up with him. He's starting to show some good speed as well. Do you foresee the two of you battling for championships throughout your career?
Yeah, for sure. If he grows a little bit, it will help him also. And yeah, he has the speed for sure. I just need to find a good balance also with the bike team, and then he will be up front soon.
And just talk a wee bit about this team. How's it been to be in a factory team, and how much have they helped you get to the level you're at now?
Yeah, a factory team, you have all the factory stuff, and yeah, it's everybody has the same, so yeah, it's good.
And you don't seem to feel any pressure at all, you're just riding free?
No, I got already that win, so it's, yeah, nothing. I know I can do it, so yeah.
A Motocross of Nations, I imagine you'll be picked for that. Are you looking forward to that as well?
Yeah, normally we need to see who is going to ride for the Nations, but yeah, if I can go for Team Belgium, it can be nice.
There could be UV Deegan and everything, so I'm excited already for that one. Thank you, well done today. Liam Everts, a very tough weekend, as always, in Lommel, but feel like you rode better today than yesterday, or what did you feel?
Yeah, for sure I rode a bit better today than yesterday, but I just struggled all round. I just didn't have that that freshness, that attack in me, especially that showed in the second race. I think once Lucas got around me, I just couldn't follow, and yeah, the gap with Simon stayed a bit the same, and with the yo-yo effect, just try to make the most out of it and come through, and yeah, we finished fourth overall.
It looked tough to find a rhythm out there and very physical. You were landing sort of in holes, and not you personally, but the
for
track.
Me, I didn't struggle with that. My flow was okay. The second race after the race, I actually wasn't really tired or done.
Okay.
I really had a quite okay flow, but I just couldn't push, and like I said, didn't have that attack in me to make the details work.
Ooh. You're on a factory KTM, you've just signed an extension. Did you expect the results to come this quickly with your first year in the team?
No, not really, especially the first half of the season with a GP win, quite some podiums. So, no, I expected it to come a bit later, but this year, yes. Maybe not the GP win, but the podiums for sure, yes.
You've spoke about it before, but just how much pressure did that relieve winning that GP off your shoulders? Because you sort of joined your name in the legacy now as an Everts GP winner.
Yeah, exactly. That took a lot of pressure off of me. But yeah, at the end of the day, I want to do it again and keep going, you know, and not say I achieved this and it's good. You know, no, I want to keep fighting and go for the next step again.
your dad had said in an interview with us about a month ago that there was changes, I think, around Italy, or you, I think, Harry and your dad had a meeting. What were those changes that seemed to bring you to the next level?
It was after Sardinia, actually.
Sardinia, yeah.
I think that was one of my worst GPs ever.
Right.
And there we saw something had to be changed, okay. And something had to be done. No, like, the change, the biggest one is going practicing more by myself, of course, with my mechanic, and still under his program, but he didn't join so many practices after, like, he would do before. He would join every session.
Okay.
He didn't do that anymore. Just listening a bit more to myself. I turned an adult, of course. Just a word, but follow my own will also a bit and find my own way also.
Your obviously last name is Everett, so you've grown up with pressure. Does this make it easier to deal with pressure now because other riders maybe aren't used to it? So you seem very relaxed a lot. You don't seem to struggle with pressure.
Yeah, it does get to me sometimes.
Okay.
It is hard, but it goes a bit up and down. But just have to find the consistency and. That's my next step, I believe, the mental step.
And are you able to do, have you your hobbies away from motocross to relieve that pressure and like take time out, or are you just motocross?
All my hobbies outside of racing is still with an engine.
Okay.
So if it's jet skiing or whatever it is, I think the only one is golf, playing golf, but okay. I haven't played for quite some time, so it shows again.
And Belgium looking really strong now, both Koenens, yourself, Jago is on a high level as well.
Yep.
The next coming years, it could be like your dad, Bevoorts and Smets, coming through for Motocross of Nations, and you're a part of that. Is that exciting as a country to look forward to?
Yeah, of course. It's nice. Eh? It's something we've been waiting for. It's been a long time like this. Nothing in Belgium, but it's cool to be part of it.
Thank you, Liam. Well done. Thank you. Jago Gert's really impressive weekend, probably what you dreamed of, really. Three wins and right back in this championship hunt. How do you sum it all up?
Yeah, it feels really good, you know, to win the three models. Just overall, I felt really good on the track all weekend, and three good starts made it a lot easier. I think I led every lap of all the races, so yeah, really positive weekend also for the championship. I think it's only 14 points or something now, so it's getting more and more close, and yeah, it should be good.
And you made it look pretty easy out there on a brutal track. It looked like you had more left even if you needed it. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, I just like rode my pace that I knew I could hold the whole moto. Mm-hmm. But it was not that I was like pushing like 100% because it's such a brutal track and I didn't want to make any big mistakes. So just kept it like smooth and controlled, you know.
And it's about 6 weeks maybe after since you broke your wrist. Whenever you broke your wrist, did you think you would be back and back this quickly in the title chase, or what were your thoughts when this happened?
No, for sure not. The recovery from the wrist went a lot faster than we expected.
Okay.
And after 3 weeks, I rode in Germany and got some good points already there. So after that, it was just trying to get the feeling back on the bike, and it went like quite quick. And in Indonesia, I got my first win already, so in the end, it worked out really well, but it could have gone also in a different direction.
And did you get surgery on the wrist, and how was that rehab? Because anyone that's had to rehab a wrist knows it's pretty painful just getting the movement back. How was that recovery for you?
Yeah, I got the surgery on Wednesday after France, and actually it went like quite good for me, the rehab. The mobility was quite good already from the first week, so that's why I also went to the physio every day to be sure that the wrist wasn't getting sore. So in the end, it worked out really well for me to get surgery.
And was it, so has it been sore when you've been riding, especially the first couple of rounds back? Was it like certain bumps or jumps that would hurt it, or how was it back on the bike?
Yeah, in Germany it wasn't perfect, so it still was a little bit painful to ride, for sure on the braking bumps and on the jumps.
Mm-hmm.
But I managed to ride, you know, like on like 50-60% and get some points. But after that, the week after, I got a scan and the bone was healed 100%. So after that, I could just do my thing, and it was still a little bit painful, but I knew it was like no problem to go all out.
And you've no pain now then?
No, now I don't feel it anymore, so I don't need to think about my wrist anymore and just can do my thing on the track.
After how last year ended in the World Championship and then that broken wrist, How was your mindset after that happened? We could see your face when you crashed on that down. You knew immediately you'd broke your wrist. You must have been pretty devastated in that moment because you were in control of the championship at that point.
Yeah. It was not a good moment, but I tried to keep positive and to be back as fast as possible. But then, in France, we didn't know what I did, if I needed surgery or not. Okay. So it was still a little bit unknown, but my goal always was to start again in Germany. And we made it, so it was quite okay.
And do you feel you're back to the level you were at before the injury now, or is there more to come with this championship rundown?
No, I think I'm quite close to 100% now, and I'm just feeling good, physically and on the bike. So it's good to be back 100%.
Adamo crashed a couple of times on that second moto there, and then you lapped him at the end, and you didn't. It looked like you made sure you lapped him. Did you see him there, or was that just a coincidence?
Yeah, I saw him in the long right corner with the waves, and then I saw that he was gonna get lapped. But before that, I didn't know what place he was riding.
And finally, your 450 debut at Redbud went pretty well. You were sort of the story there. I think Americans sort of know your name now. Ernie, I would imagine you'll be going to the Nations and probably riding a 450 there, and then it's 450 from then on. Are you looking forward to riding the big bike? You've only about 2 months left of a 250 now.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to riding the 450. I really like the bike. Like you saw last year in Redbud, the bike suits me well. So I think it will be nice to have a change again and go from the 250 to the 450. And then, we will see how it goes next season.
And you aren't riding it at the minute or anything? That will just be before Nations, or?
Yeah, I think if they choose me for the Nations to go on the 450, then I will just ride it on the 2 weeks before.
Okay, and Jet Lawrence has adapted really well as well. Both of you were the kind of standouts of the 250 guys going to 450 at Redbud. What are your thoughts on him? And your style is pretty smooth like his. Do you think he's to a kind of a kind of motocross the nation's rivalry for the next few years in the 450s?
Yeah, probably. I know, and he's really fast at the moment, and I think he won every moto until now, so difficult to compare, but we will see in France. For sure he will be fast.
Thank you, Iago, well done. Jorge Prado, 1 year ago you looked to be struggling with your health here. You were exhausted. Your championship wasn't going well. Everything seemed to be going wrong. 1 year later, you'd won the second moto, third moto really of the weekend, leading the championship by around 100 points. It's been some turnaround for you, and that moto win must really feel satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, 1 year ago, we had a tough weekend of the year. I hit the COVID, so obviously you're fighting through that. It's the worst thing that can happen to a rider, and I remember it was like over 30 degrees, so it was just horrible. And look at us now, we improved the technical side, I improved also in the physical side, and I won the second moto in the toughest race of the year. So we improved during the weekend, as on Saturday we made too many mistakes, and then on the first moto I made a mistake in the second corner that pretty much cost me maybe even probably another race win, because I was up front. And I'm very good at riding in the sand when I'm up front, and I had to deal going through the pack, but I still made it third in the last lap. So it was a consistent race, and second moto I knew what I had to do, and just brought it home, so I'm pumped.
So you're probably two really impressive laps. The last lap of race two, explain, you went 5 seconds quicker than Vlaanderen on the last lap. And your fastest lap of the race, 2:09. Fastest lap of the race was that last lap, and 5 seconds quicker than Vlaanderen. What happened there? Because Sir nearly got you the lap before, and then you just turned a switch and showed how fast you could go.
It's what I said in the interview in the press conference. Lommel this year was super rough, and it's more about just fighting the bumps than really riding with the flow or just pure sand riding. I just switch on turbo and went for P3 as also Seaver. He crashed and he was just behind me, and I felt like I lost the rhythm some laps before that, and then I also made a mistake where I got stuck in the sand, so he was really putting the pressure, and I was like, I can't even go like P5 or P3, so I saw Vlaanderen not so far away, and I was like, I don't think he's even expecting this, and I just go all in, almost all in. I put a good pace again, and I catch him, and he just went outside in the waves, and I was like, yeah, this is my turn to go inside and go for it. So it was a great pass on the last lap. He couldn't react on it, so it was good. And yeah, I'm proud to push in the last lap first moto and make it home, bring it home in the second one.
And then the first lap of the second moto, you would done it again, third to first, on probably a 5-second lead. Was that the plan? Then you could maybe, I don't know if rest is the right word, but control. Although Prado,
yeah, I mean,
Favre came on.
In the second moto, my goal was to get us first as soon as possible, and that's what I did. And then once I was first, I know how to manage good races, especially in the sand. As I won here 4 times, I'm the guy with the most wins in Lomo. So yeah. I was waiting for another win here this weekend, but we couldn't make it happen. But like I said, second moto, I make a good gap in the beginning, and that made me stay safe and control it. And I just rode the race by feeling, not really like pushing or anything, was just going and going and going, just never really stopping. And I knew if someone would come close, like Favre on the last laps, then I had something for him.
So you and Jet are leading both championships, both ride really similar, very controlled. Is this the new generation, the new future, and are you looking forward to racing and earning?
Yeah, I mean, he's also doing very well in the US. This is totally different. I mean, look at these bumps, you know, like you cannot even look smooth here. It's like...
But you did all right.
You know, it's just fighting through everything. So, I mean, we have very tough tracks in MXGP. It's toughest championship for sure, and with the highest level. So we are doing good. We both have a good season. So, no, it's good.
At the end of last season, did you ever foresee this would be the scenario and your fitness, you know, with Joel and that... The way you caught Herlings when Herlings made that mistake, that showed me that fitness and strength wise you're there and you seem to get stronger in mid-season. It's just a complete turnaround.
I mean, we are in a good way. We bubble gap very good this winter, and we've been improving race by race. Even this weekend was a great example of how strong I am, you know, winning the second motor and no feeding, and which was something maybe in the past that sometimes at the end of the race I would just drop. But I still have something in myself, I'm happy. We are working hard, and I'm happy. I wouldn't imagine being in this situation one year ago, for sure.
The Supercross situation seems to be always on the horizon, going to America. Is it something you really want to do, or is the possibility of this World Supercross Series growing something you could do instead if you choose to stay MXGP for the next few years? Is that, you know, once you'd finished MXGP in the future?
I mean, right now I'm super focused on the championship and getting it done, and after that we will see. I mean, Supercross has always been there, and but yeah, I am really enjoying my time over here, and now that I step it up a little bit, you enjoy it even more, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it's hard. Racing MXGP, it's very hard. Tracks are sometimes not so smooth, so you actually, yeah, it's difficult to enjoy it sometimes.
Okay.
Just because the tracks are not super nice, but anyway, I think. We have a great championship over here, and Supercross, it's something I need to think about it still.
Are you in contact with Tom or anyone over there to get a feel for what the transition's like, or that type of thing? Or
actually, not really. I don't have much contact with anyone over there. No, not really. I need to wait maybe for Patron to come back and go with him.
He's getting some points up there. He's doing really well.
He's been going top 5, so hey, props to him.
And you're definitely MXGP next year then, with GasGas, that's the plan. Victoria, thank you very much.
Obviously this is your first year in a team management role for Factory KTM. How is it, the role transition from a rider? How do you find it?
Yeah, it's not an easy transition, of course, because when you're a rider you think only about yourself and what's best for you, and now you need to think about a lot of people in the team, a lot of new mechanics also, a lot of new technicians. New riders, young ones, and also Jeffrey, which they require a lot of effort, because everybody's is riding in your own, you know, and so many people are going around. It's tough. It's not easy, but it's interesting.
And obviously with Jeffrey, he's pretty experienced. You probably don't really need to tell him what to do. But with the young guys, they have still got a lot to learn. Do you feel you're in a good position? You're able to help them improve?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Jeffrey. We don't have nothing to learn him. Of course, we try to help him if he needs something. But most of the time, I mean, he knows what to do. And unfortunately, he got the injury, but this is not part. It's part of racing. And yeah, the young guys, of course, I mean, my experience is there to help whatever they need. And but I have to say they are young, but they already are quite professional and they know really what to do and what you know, how to act. So it's really nice to see that this young generation is already really professional, you know, this way.
And what's it like watching a track like that? I would say a Tony Crowley's dream track. You're probably down to get out there for that.
Yeah, was the tough one to miss for me, I think. And actually this year the track developed. Like not in the last like 3 or 4 times I ride, was really looking like you know, 10-12 years ago when the track gets really really bumpy and rough and technical. Normally always gets like some small kickers, sketchy bumps. Now it was really with the new sand they put, it looked really really nice. And yeah, I missed it a lot, but it was a good racing anyway.
And just on the MX2 KTM team, I mean, when both riders were signed, I don't think it would have really been expected to be in a position where you're fighting for the title. So, firstly, are you surprised that Adamo's in this championship chase? And working with him, what's it like? I really like his mentality. He's been, you know, even up there speaking in the press conference, he's very mature for his age.
Yeah, I mean, nobody, I think, expect that Andrea could be at this point of the season and leading the championship. Of course, today, I mean, I wasn't surprised if he didn't make any, you know, bad models yet, because that means that, I mean, he's from another planet, because, I mean, when you are so young and you have dread paid and you're leading the championship, and last year he was not even close to top five, you know, I mean, it's difficult. I know what he's feeling, you know, when you have the red plate is. And today, okay, messed up a little bit the second moto, but I think overall he's doing super, and everybody's expecting for him, of course, not what he's doing already. Was for us was important that he could go top five this year, and he's already, you know, one step in front.
And Sasha Kunin is so small, but he's on the gas all the time. What's it like working with him and maybe trying to calm him down? But at the same time, you know, everyone's riding fast out there.
Yeah, I mean, Sasha is a big talent, of course, but he needs to a bit grow, you know, and have to have a little bit more power for this, you know, these bikes. It gets so powerful and they are so, you know, so difficult to ride, you know, because they are so powerful. And he's just too young, I mean, and still needs to develop his muscles, and when he will get a little the step, I think he will be easily out up front.
And I'm not really sure how closely you work with Liam, because obviously he's got Stefan, but last year was his rookie year, but he obviously picked up an injury, so people forget that. So he's pretty much his first season not being injured, so he's making good progress as well.
Yeah, I mean, for Liam it's very difficult to see, because I mean he has a lot of pressure for him, everybody of course with his name, I know, I can understand, and also with the family, I mean, behind him, for sure they want to help him 110%, but he's a guy that he likes to stay a lot on his own. He knows really what he wants and how to train and how to prepare himself, so he's really professional in this way. And I mean, I try to help him when he needs to, and but overall we are happy with him. He starts a little bit not on his best, you know, this season, but after he shows some good speed.
And just on young Italian talents, there's obviously Andrea, but looking at the MX85 and the MX65 classes last weekend, you must have been a happy Italian. They were doing really really well, so the future looks bright.
Yeah, I mean, super. I think the nobody expect also in Italy, I mean, they ride well, but not that well, you know, that we expect them to win, you know. Also the Italian Federation, you know, who is following them, they were surprised, you know, they ride amazing and they won, and it looks good at the moment. The Italian Federation is doing a good job, and I mean the youngsters are coming strong.
Perfect, thank you.